The town of Lake City is celebrating the completion of the Armory. The renovation and maintenance project began 2.5 years ago and cost over $800,000. Grant Houston is the president of the Hinsdale County Historical Society. He says the brick building was built to house and train the local militia back in 1883.
It was also the Lake City Opera House. Any town of significance had to have its own opera house. And I have my doubts that an opera was ever actually held there, but it's been very central to Lake City's life since 1883.
Houston is particularly happy with the restoration. Care was used to make sure the roof stayed the same. Bricks were used that matched the ones already there. He's comforted in seeing the building that's anchored the town for so long cared after.
For Lake City native, this is an essential element of Lake City. I grew up in and around that armory. My earliest memories would involve attending dinners there, even as a child with my parents. So it gives me a sense of satisfaction and a comfort level that that sort of facility hasn't changed that much in my entire life.
The town will celebrate the armory project and the untold number of volunteer hours that went into it later tonight. With spring in full swing, bears are waking and leaving their winter dens. State wildlife officials say that means it's time for people to do what they can to prevent bear-human conflicts. KVNF's Laura Palmisano reports.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife says about 60% of the agency's collared black bears have already emerged from their dens. Joe Lewandowski is a CPW spokesman.
Really, all of western Colorado and our part of the western slope from, you know, Paonia down to Delta over to Ridgeway and Telluride, Ouray, we live in very good bear habitat. There's lots of things for them to eat. They have good cover.
He says the agency has already received reports of bear sightings.
We haven't had any reports of any conflicts yet of bears breaking into cars or houses or anything like that.
However, that's likely to change.
We really want people to start paying attention to how they're taking care of their garbage, what they're doing with their bird feeders, and people protecting their fruit trees and their honey hives.
CPW recommends sticking your trash out on the morning of pickup, removing bird feeders, locking doors and windows, and placing an electric fence around fruit trees, honey hives, and gardens. Lewandowski says the agency provides electric fences free of charge.
And that includes the fencing, there's a charger, a pretty hefty battery, and a little solar panel to keep it going. So we really encourage people to take advantage of that and see if it's available, you know, to them.
You can contact your local Parks and Wildlife office for more information. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
A new report shows preventable traffic deaths continue to climb. The Colorado Department of Transportation spent months poring over data from 2014 to find trends about car accidents in the state.
Unfortunately, all the trends seem to be going in the wrong direction.
That's CDOT spokesperson Sam Cole. 448 people died on the roadways 2 years ago. They've just broken down the cause for each one, and Cole says the numbers are nothing new.
We've been seeing this for many years. In other words, unbelted drivers are hugely overrepresented in the fatality data. We also continue to see alcohol representing about a third of the fatalities in the state. And of course, speed is always a problem.
Although Colorado does have fatality rates lower than the national average, the trend is working against that. With this recent analysis, they'll be able to specifically target accident causes with a goal of zero traffic fatalities. The Republican National Convention in Cleveland is 3 months away, and the party remains very much divided over the candidates for president. Ted Cruz closed Donald Trump's lead over the weekend, sweeping all of the state's 34 open delegates at the GOP State Assembly in Colorado Springs. Yet, as Benta Berkland reports, Republicans in Colorado are as split as anyone else in the country over the race.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz's speech was the highlight for many of the 7,000 Republicans who were part of a record turnout. They listened and applauded as Cruz rallied them on issues like jobs and homeland security. Then he spoke about his biggest rival.
You know, it's easy to talk about making America great again. You can even print that on a baseball cap. But the real question is, do you understand the principles and values that made America great in the first place?
However, Donald Trump wasn't there to issue a retort. He sent a surrogate, passing the chance to connect with voters like Brad Tudor of Gunnison.
It's been a lot of smoke and mirrors and a lot of hype. And I think that he really hasn't thought out plans as far as like foreign policy, the economy, healthcare, and things like that. I know that Trump's got the majority of the delegates at this point in time, but I don't think he'll have all of them when we get to the convention.
Attendee Rob Blanken of Colorado Springs was vying for one of the coveted Cleveland delegate spots the party selected on Saturday. He also backs Cruz.
He's almost disliked by as many Republicans in the U.S. Senate as he is Democrats in the U.S. Senate. So that must say something. He's doing something right. We haven't seen the nation this disrupted since the 1860s, so divided, that it's critical that we get a candidate that will unite the country.
Blanken was wearing a sign around his neck that said unpledged Tea Party member. Justin Hayward from Park County, south of Breckenridge, approached him in the hallway. Hayward is a fan of Trump.
Saying the things that nobody seemingly has the balls to say.
He is.
What we got to do about the Mexican border, what we're going to do about immigration.
What he's saying I have no problem with, but I don't have any faith that he's going to be able to fulfill because he has no idea how politics works.
Correct.
In Washington.
But do we have any faith that any of the career politicians are going to do it?
Despite supporting Trump, the businessman isn't Hayward's dream candidate.
He's stuck his foot in his mouth. I mean, horribly. And I don't really think that's the person he is. But no, he's not a politician. He doesn't know how to go up there and say what's supposed to be said. Unfortunately, that's a little bit of his appeal, is the lack of filter.
A former lifelong Democrat, Rebecca Conway from Greeley, was also in the crowd. She became a Republican 6 years ago, frustrated by what she sees as too much political correctness among Democrats. She likes Trump.
Key issues will be effectiveness, ability to actually lead, and not be so dogmatic that you don't get the country where it needs to go, and you have to compromise.
She hopes Trump's brashness in business will translate into deals in Congress.
He's worked with lots of people to make things happen, and I haven't seen that from Senator Cruz yet. Maybe he can, but he hasn't convinced me of that yet. So,
among the younger voters was Brian Smythe of Colorado Springs. He's 28. And if Trump becomes the Republican nominee for president, Smythe says he'll vote for a third party or write-in candidate.
Abortion's a big issue to me, probably the most critical issue, and I don't sense that he's strong enough on that. Like, he says it, but I have trouble believing he really is pro-life, just based on what I've seen and heard from him.
After the weekend with contests in Colorado and South Carolina, Trump lost ground to Cruz. He now has 743 delegates. Cruz has 566, including those he picked up in Colorado. I'm Benta Berkland.
For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.